When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a fight to the finish in Philly. The 76ers survive. Are they about to 86 the Knicks in round one? Meanwhile, is it so long for Steph and company in Golden State? You will hear the one way we might still see the superstar back in the NBA Finals. Plus, we are T-minus 1 week and counting, people. It's all about the quarterbacks. One big decision has been made. We're all over it all morning long. We are jam-packed. Let's go. Woo! Time to
We got
a big group. We got the basketball group on this side. We got the football group on this side. At the end of the show, we'll have a vote on who did best. I'm only kidding. No, we won't. But we'll start with the NBA last night. Win and you're in. Lose and your season is hanging in the balance for the Heat and the Sixers. The 7-8 game winner gets the Knicks. 10 seconds to go in the first quarter. Here's the critical moment, Tim Legler. As you're going to see the action on one side, Maxie, no good. We're going, it is good, but we're going to go the other way. Just watch Jimmy Butler. Can you tell exactly what happened here?
No, very difficult to tell. When I saw the replay, it looked like it was more about his ankle, but clearly the body weight is what did it to him. When he gets all this body weight on that knee, and it looked bad, Greeny. Like, I wasn't thinking Jimmy Butler was going to finish this game.
He had to make the foul shots to stay in the game. He would, but clearly hampered all night. More on that in a minute. In the meantime, the Sixers were down pretty much the entire game, but in the fourth quarter, they're working their way back in, and Embiid's doing it from deep.
Gave him a clean look. One of the few he got from the perimeter, knocks it down. Jimmy Butler had impact plays defensively all night, typically leading to immediate offense, as he does here again on a breakaway.
See the pain on his face. He would score 19. Now, back and forth they would go. That's a great play by Nicholas Batum, who had 20 off the bench. It's a one-point game. 3 minutes to go. Embiid, here's another three.
And again, walks into a trail three. Bam, back in the paint protecting. And Joel Embiid, with that shooting touch, knocks down a huge shot.
Sixers up two, but we're going back and forth here, people. Tyler Hero on the next possession. Miami up one. Next possession. Embiid, offensive rebound and one.
One of the few times he really threw his weight around in the paint at a critical time. The offensive rebound and the free throw to follow.
Tied at 96 in the final minute. That's Oubre, who had 11 and 8. He would make a free throw. Sixers by three. 30 seconds to go. That's for the tie, and that's the huge play by Batum.
And that's what he's known for. Like, he had great offense in this game, but that's what Nicholas Batum is known for in this league. The length on the perimeter comes up with the deflection.
So the Sixers come from behind and survive and advance despite a very slow start for Joel Embiid. An inefficient 12 points in the first three quarters, but in the fourth he had 11. He played 38 minutes for the game, his most since returning from injury. Up next now for Philly, the New York Knicks. Here's Nick Nurse.
I think they're for real. I think they're really good. I think they're fast. I think they can shoot. I think they hit the glass. I think they guard you. I think they've earned that seed. They've played really well and beaten a lot of good teams. So we'll have our work to do here in the next couple days to get ready for them.
That series will begin on Saturday, and so let's dive into it. We'll look at last night, and we'll look ahead a little bit, and we can do both by my asking you this question, Monica.
Mm-hmm.
If you're Tom Thibodeau and all of the New York Knicks, and you're watching that game last night, after all of the hype and all of the talk, oh, the Sixers are the biggest threat to Boston and Embiid, all that kind of stuff, how do you feel right now if you're the Knicks watching that team on that floor last night?
Confident. Like you said, an efficient 12 points in the first three quarters and 11 points in the fourth. Joel Embiid is a force when he is healthy. But the argument is he healthy, right? And so I think you could suggest that he will get going and get better through the series, or will that knee continue to wear down? And so if you're the New York Knicks, a team that is one of four that was top 10 in defensive and offensive rating, you are trusting the way that you've been able to play basketball down the backstretch of the season. You're confident in the collective of your pieces, and you got Jalen Brunson.
Han, what did you see from the Sixers, and in particular from Embiid last night?
That he's on one leg, that he played really slow, and that if I'm the Knicks, I have four bigs I'm going to throw at him, but you have to play fast. The Knicks play the slowest pace in the NBA. This plays into Embiid, who really doesn't want to run and can't run right now. You could see it. He also was not engaged defensively at all. You heard the interview with Nick Nurse and Lisa Salters when he said, when she was asking what Embiid needs to do, he said he needs to get some stuff done on the defensive end because he had no presence whatsoever defensively. He did have 15 rebounds. But if I'm the Knicks, I'm throwing body and body and body at him. They have several bigs they can do that with. And they just also have to run on everything and just get him in transition because he is definitely playing on one leg.
So we had some sound bites from Embiid after the game. The quality of it just wasn't that good. You couldn't hear him that clearly. So we're not going to play it for you. But he called it a nasty win last night, which it sort of was in a lot of ways. And that sort of figures to be what we're going to see coming up, maybe 4, 5, 6, or 7 nasty games between them and the Knicks.
Well, I'll sum up how nasty it was. I'm talking directly to the city officials in Philadelphia, maybe even the governor in the state of Pennsylvania right now. The statue of Nicholas Batum should be erected. That statue should be up by the time they play their first home game against the Knicks, okay, by game 3. Because, listen, here's why. Without Nicholas Batum last night, their season lasts 4 more games. 4 more games. At most, they might lose against the winner of the 9-10. If they win that game, they're getting swept by the Celtics the way Joel Embiid looks right now. So if I'm the Knicks, I'm watching that, I am licking my chops for all the reasons they both said. There's 3 things when you watch Embiid. It's not the shot making. He's always going to make shots. He could be out there in a full body cast. He's going to make shots because he's that skilled. 3 things I always look for whenever we're talking about Embiid and an injury. Is he changing ends of the floor? He was not changing ends of the floor. Is he sealing like with intent in the paint?
Nope.
He wasn't doing it at all. And then does he move laterally defensively? To Allen's point, when he's really good on top of his game, even the way he looked when he first came back from the injury during that 5 or 6 game stretch to close out the season, when he is tracking guards to the rim, when they've turned the corner on him and he's jumped out, when he is going, you know, block to block to meet a guy as a last line of defense, when you see that explosiveness defensively, that's when you know Joel Embiid is right. It has nothing to do with shot making. He's always going to do that. It's the other things, and none of that was there. If I'm the Knicks and I'm watching that game, I am licking my chops right now because Joel Embiid is not right.
Plays into everything the Knicks do with Jalen Brunson. High screen roll, everything is the pick and roll. They get the big involved. A lot of times their big man sets the screen, and then the opponent's big. You see it, Monica, all the time. You call the games. You have to either come over and trap. You have to have active legs. And if you don't, Jalen Brunson will shred you defensively all day long or just simply feed it to the big who's open in the paint, and they have guys that can finish in the paint. So that's a dangerous place for Joel Embiid to be defensively.
Listen, I am very curious to see how Nick Nurse looks to potentially protect Joel Embiid because of all the things that you guys just mentioned. I do think, and Nicholas Batum is interesting that you mentioned that. I think the absence of De'Anthony Melton for them defensively is something that has gone a little under the radar but has impacted what the Sixers want to do in terms of stopping guards like Jalen Brunson. But to me, for the Sixers, I don't think, Greeny, that we should conflate them being potentially the biggest threat to the Boston, meaning that they are at the form that Joel Embiid was before the injury.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You say that when you look at the roster, right? And I get it, but arguably you can make the same argument about the Knicks in terms of how they've been playing basketball, the terrific season that Jalen Brunson has had.
So they play, pardon me, they play Saturday, Monday. So that if you're just trying to get a sense of how long it will be for Embiid and everything else, the first 2 games of that series are with just the 1 day between them, Saturday, Monday. Then they get a few days before they go to Philly next Thursday. So we'll see what the status is for Joel Embiid. As far as the status for Jimmy Butler, you saw the injury during the game. He did finish, but he was clearly in pain. Here he was afterwards. They fear he sustained a possible MCL injury. He's set for an MRI today. Here's what he said afterward.
I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but I mean, I hope that I'm fine. I hope I wake up tomorrow and I can still stick and move. But, you know, right now I can't say that that's the case. I mean, I fell and he landed and my knee just didn't do well, I guess. I don't know. But it's not a good feeling, I can tell you that.
That's pretty ominous, right? I mean, I'm not a doctor, but if I were a doctor and he said that to me, I would be very concerned.
No doubt about it. I couldn't believe, actually, he finished the game. And he still made plays. He still had an impact in the game. And look, Jimmy Butler's not the type of guy. Like, if he's talking like that and he's leaving the arena like that, that is a major concern, obviously, for the Heat, who have, look, an opportunity still to get in. And they got to play one home game against the Chicago Bulls, and they get in, and their reward is going to be the Celtics with maybe a limited Jimmy Butler. So this could possibly change even the prospects of, you know, how competitive could they be in that series if he is in any way limited or misses time.
The season's over.
It's just worth reminding everyone
for whatever it's worth, I know the teams are different, that they did come out of the play-in last year and beat the Celtics in a seven-game series in the Eastern Conference Finals, winning Game 7 in Boston.
Much different team.
I understand that.
Much
the legend
team.
Continues both, to grow.
Both teams I got to be honest. When you saw the look on Alonzo Mourning's face, they cut after the injury, they cut to the bench, they cut to Spoelstra, and then they did a great job on this last night. Then you see Pat Riley and Alonzo Mourning. Mm-hmm. And Alonzo Mourning's face was like, oh, no. Like, he knew right away.
I don't think no was the second word.
Yeah, but I'm cleaning it up because it's a morning show. Yeah. But you just saw it in his face that he just knew, like, there goes our season.
As much as you'll talk about this injury, and yes, Jimmy Butler is the heart of what the Miami Heat do. On the other side, the Chicago Bulls quietly have been playing solid basketball down the stretch. They've got four guys that are in the top 10 when you look at the net rating when it comes to the clutch. So, like, DeMar DeRozan is coming.
They're playing great defense.
Funny you should mention that. Let's show you what happened in that late game. The Bulls and the Hawks in the 9-10. Winner goes to Miami on Friday night. It was all about that man, Kobe White. He was spectacular. But first, can we just show you in the third quarter a dunk by DeJounte Murray. Stand by. Here it comes. And
hey now.
Oh.
Nick Vucevic, as soon as he jumped, realized that might be a mistake.
Murray had 30 points.
Second
but this game was all about Kobe
spin
White.
Cycle.
That is Kyrie Irving-esque, and that's a lot of what Kobe White did last night. He reminded me so much of it. His creativity and the way he improvised, and what a night. What a season he has had.
Kobe White had a career-high 42 points. Here he is dishing for Javonte Green, so that's a great play all the way around. And then more from White, knocking down a three. Again, 42 for him. The Bulls win it by 15, 131-116. They will take on Miami. Friday night winner gets the Celtics in round one. Win and your play-in game between the Bulls and Heat could be more of the same from what we saw in the regular season. They split the series two games apiece, averaged nearly the same amount of points. They haven't played each other since December 16th. They also met in this same game last year, the second play-in game, and it was Miami that came out. In the meantime, is Washington going to be the NFL draft wild card 1 week from today? Tim Legler is sitting forward in his seat. We will put the Commanders' quarterback decision under our microscope. Plus, can Steph ever win another title with Dre and Clay? Or should this be the end of the Warriors' big three as we know them? Stephen A. will weigh in as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await get you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by ACE, 100 years of helpful. And so we find ourselves exactly 1 week from round one of the NFL draft. EJ Manuel is here. Let's talk quarterbacks and let's do E's keys on the top picks. Caleb Williams is first up. What is the key for Caleb?
Yeah, the key for Caleb Williams is just keep it simple. Look, if you're the number one overall pick in the draft, of course, the expectation is for you to be the savior of Chicago. But really, when you get in there, just go out there, do your job. Don't feel like you've got to play hero ball. Throw the ball to receivers, take what the defense gives you, and you'll be fine throughout your rookie year.
Now, everyone has been talking about J.J. McCarthy from Michigan. What is the key for J.J.?
Yeah, well, the key for J.J. is really being consistent with the routine. I think one thing when you turn the tape on with J.J., he does a great job of taking, again, what the defense gives him, but he's accurate in those third down situations, out routes, comebacks, slants, those type of routine passes. You got to do that at a high clip in the NFL, and the coverage is going to be a little bit tighter. But, again, if you do that in your rookie year, you'll be fine, and you can expand with the offense.
And then, of course, there's Jaden Daniels, who most people assume will be the second pick. More on that in a moment. What's the key for him?
Yeah, be an athlete. Like, don't fall away from being able to run. This guy had all the explosives last year as a Heisman Trophy winning candidate, and excuse me, Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, but also just take over games. I feel like, again, when rookie quarterbacks, even from my own experience, if things break down, take off and run. You know, 10, 15 years ago, guys said, hey, if you run, you can't read defenses. That's not the thought process anymore. If you can be an athlete, go out there and do it.
He most certainly can do it. Did it with his arm and his legs as well as anybody in a long time. And interestingly, yesterday, the Commanders, who have the second pick in this draft, brought in four of the top quarterback prospects all at the same time. I asked Lewis Riddick about that when he was here yesterday. Here's what he thought.
If you were so sure on exactly who you wanted and it was locked in, I don't think you do this. My suspicion is just that, that there are varying opinions.
This late in the game.
Exactly. Look, it's happened before. Like I said earlier.
That one of them is Michael Penix Jr. at number two?
Meaning that maybe they're anticipating maybe getting a trade offer.
Okay, so he's thinking exactly what I'm thinking. The football squad is here. D. Wood with EJ and Kmart, my insider extraordinaire. I begin with you. You're actually going to be with Washington next week. That's where you'll be in Virginia for them with the second pick. Look, they basically have known exactly what their tableau was for a long time.
Yes.
The insiders have known that Caleb Williams was going number one. Mm-hmm. Why is it that a week before the draft, they're bringing four quarterbacks in at this stage?
Well, number one, let me just say that the 49ers apparently did this to this whole group visit thing, and Adam Peters, their new GM, was in San Francisco. That said, a lot of people in the NFL, whether it be execs, whether it be agents, are confused as hell as to why this is even happening. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, and even Jaden Daniels' agent tweeted the confused thinking emoji.
Yes.
Like, because it is curious, because we don't see it. But here's what I can tell you about the Commanders, and this is probably why they have all of them in. They haven't made a decision yet as to who the number two pick is. And they're, you know, I've been told that they're still in the evaluation process and may not make that final decision until next week. So there is no consensus in the building just yet. I will say, I've always heard Jaden Daniels as the favorite to land at that two spot.
Mm-hmm.
The other name that I have heard is Drake May. But again, still, they haven't zeroed in on the guy just yet.
Well, they have felt like they were 2-3 or 3-2 or however you want to put it throughout most of this process in either order that you want, which makes it so fascinating to me that they have particularly Michael Penix being in there. I don't think there's anyone, and I know you believe he will go higher than most believe.
Yes, not that
high. He's not
high.
Going number two. That's my point. So if you're bringing Michael Penix in 8 days before the draft, that suggests to me that there is at least some possibility that you are trading out of that spot and you want to take a look at someone else because he's not going number two.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that when you bring in all four of these guys, I think that the team, everyone, when there's conflicting opinions about who do you want to take at number two, you're looking for the most minuscule things to kind of separate, you know, that can be the decision maker for who you're going to take. When you bring in those, what I call alpha guys in that situation, how do they interact with each other? Who's showing the different traits that may appeal to you as an organization? Because honestly, outside of that, what sense does this even make bringing all of these guys, all four of these quarterback draft prospects in at the same time? It makes no sense other than to see What are these guys' personalities like? How do they interact with other people?
Yeah, well, you've lived this process a little bit. I mean, what do you make of it?
Yeah, I make of it as what Damian is saying. It's really trying to get a feel for their personalities. Which guy sits by himself in the cafeteria? Which guy says hello to the person that is a security guard? Which guy does the little small things like he's saying to really get a feel for their personality? Like, when you bring in all four guys, and look, they're all potential first-round quarterbacks, not to say one's better than the other, but I think, again, at this process, you know what they are as a player. Now you want to get a feel for them as a person and get them all together, and that way you can judge.
Doesn't pass the smell test. I'm sorry, it just doesn't. You're bringing these four guys
in. I think that's what it is.
You're making a decision of this.
All good, all good. You got the second pick. You have a good idea of who you're going to draft.
Right.
And now if it's close, all right, well, what kind of guy is he? Again, is he a quiet guy? Does he like to?
You've had 4 months.
Honcho within a bunch of other honchos. I put it like that. Is he an alpha?
I understand that. The best way to find that out, to me, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a personality expert. To me, is not to bring all four of them in on one day and make a decision on who says hello to the security guard. When all of them know they're there for a job interview. Every single one of them knows exactly what they're
doing. But Greeny,
let me just say this. Having talked to and interviewed Dan Quinn at the Combine, it is very important for him to understand the personality and the mental makeup of the guys he is bringing into this locker room. A lot of vets that he has experience with are in Washington right now. These rookies, the quarterbacks, it is essential to know, not can he just play, but can he carry himself? Can he be an executive who understands that he's carrying this franchise on his back? I know that it is unorthodox, but keep in mind, we have a first-year GM, a head coach who didn't think he'd get a second chance, and now that he's got it, they want to make the right decision. And I will throw cold water on the Michael Penix thing. Yes, he is there. Yes, you want to get intel on all these guys because you don't know what could happen now and also in the future. You want to know who these guys are, but it's all right, Greeny. Just breathe. It's okay.
No, I love it. What I'm saying is something else is going on here. Now, I don't know what it is, but the bottom line of it is if you had identified the player that you want to take with the second pick in the draft, which you have had months to do, you don't need to spend all of this time. They have 2 second-round picks. They have a ton of needs to fill. They have any number of other ways they could be occupying their time. There are all these whispers out there that Jaden Daniels is trying to find a way to get to the Raiders. I have no idea if that factors into this conversation or not. All I'm saying is the idea that they just, a week before the draft, let's see how they interact with each other based on, and that's how we're going to make this extraordinarily important decision. That is very difficult.
Listen, you know, you brought the whole trade down. I'm not buying that at all. Like, no? You literally have the pick of the litter at number 2. We know that Caleb Williams is going 1. The Washington Commanders have 6 picks in the top 100. Right. I don't think they're looking to trade down to jeopardize the quarterback that they most desire to acquire more picks. That doesn't make sense
to me.
But
what if the quarterback they want is J.J. McCarthy? That's what I'm trying to say to you. If they've decided they want a guy who doesn't have, so we're agreeing at this point. They haven't made up their mind what they're doing.
But I already told you, they don't have a consensus yet. They still are doing the due diligence.
Right.
And even though you feel like, well, it's a week before the draft, like, how could they not know? They have to nail this decision. So you take as long, they could take until to put that, turn that card in. As long as they nail it, that's all that matters.
On some level, I feel like we're saying the same thing. Yeah. If they knew what they were doing with this, there's no way in the world they would be doing what they did yesterday.
But it's not like they don't. It's like, oh gosh, guys, who do we like?
Right.
Who do we like?
Well,
they like certain guys, but they haven't made that final decision for the 2 spots.
I don't have time for the tape right now, but we'll show it later. If you needed a quarterback and you could choose, Caleb Williams is off the board. Which one of these guys would you take?
I would take Jaden Daniels. When you turn this tape on, I think he has the most skill that translates fast to being a rookie quarterback. And what I mean by a rookie quarterback is just some of the simple nuances of getting in and out the huddle, footwork, timing up with your passing concepts, being accurate with the football. But again, the explosiveness is also going to carry him in his first year. Look, if things break down, you got an offensive lineman that's getting beat and things like that, he's fast enough to get himself out of trouble. So to me, based off the tape and his footwork, I'm taking Jaden Daniels.
Okay, we'll leave this here for the moment. I know you've put together an entire tape on him that will get you a little bit later, but this thing is getting fascinating. We thought maybe the intrigue would start at 3. At this moment, I think the intrigue starts at 2 and we'll go from there. In the meantime, more from the NBA playoffs and play-ins. After an awful start, Embiid and the Sixers beat the Heat. Legs will take us inside the plays that decided it, and we'll look forward as well to the playoffs, which start this weekend. That's next. Get up on ESPN.
Yeah. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Not the playoffs yet, it's the plan, but you can feel the difference.
A 17-point turnaround here in the first half for Miami. Sixers back in the game. This one's turned into a slugfest. Embiid tries a three. Got it! Again, it's a Batum bonanza. Hero tries to answer, and he does. Back and forth they go here in the play-in game. 105 remaining. Backcourt violation. B double finds Oubre. Oubre lays it up and in. Here goes Hero. Fires up, blocked by Batum. And that'll do it. Sixers survive. An inspiring victory here in the play-in game.
It wasn't an artistic masterpiece, but it was a very entertaining night of basketball, and the Sixers survive in advance. And if you watched it last night, and no one does this better than our buddy Legs, the Sixers really struggled against that Miami zone defense much of the night. But at the end, they found a way to make a couple of plays that decided the game.
Yeah, and in general, in the second half, they were better against it. And a couple of key times in this game, they were able to get what they wanted. Starts right here, and they didn't get a lot of this, but this is so important. Take a look right here when Maxey gets this ball early. And this doesn't lead to direct offense, but what it ends up doing is set into motion a chain of events that's going to lead to something great. His penetration early forces Miami to flood back under the rim. And as a result, when this is all said and done, right there, they've got five guys below the foul line. And you're going to see when they come out of this, Greeny, you see where Joel Embiid is. He's at the top of the key. When the Heat come out, there's a little confusion here on who's where. Well, that leads to this. Now he's able to catch the ball where he loves it, which is the middle of the floor, right there at the top of the key. You got a mismatch right here. And take a look at Tyler Hero. He's just taking a peek, just enough. And he's going to pinch in inside that elbow just enough that it's going to lead to something great over here for Nicholas Batum. And take a look at the score. Tie game, just enough for Hero. Great delivery by Embiid. Batum has space, huge shot, crowd reaction. It's a momentum play. Now this one, I'm going to let run for a second here at the beginning of this because the Sixers are trying to attack. I don't love their spacing at the start of this, but it gets better as we go. Now we're going to come out. Let's reset it. You see the Heat in their zone. Here's the key thing. Watch what happens on the baseline. Batum changes sides of the floor with Oubre. That's going to lead to something great in a second because it's going to force these back two-line defenders to have to react. And you end up getting numbers on the weak side. Starts here. Joel Embiid catches the ball. He's obviously going to draw two in that situation. So you've got a trap going on. Well, who's over here? Nicholas Batum. This is the guy that's been killing them. This is a tie game inside 40 seconds. And what that ends up doing, you get a little bit of a lean out by Adebayo. So now on the weak side, that means there are two players back here. And unfortunately for the Heat, only one defender, Jimmy Butler. And what happens, Oubre gets this duck in because Butler's a little bit concerned about getting out to the three-point line. Right there, he takes a peek. Oubre dives in, catches the ball. Mm. It's an and one, without question, the biggest play in the game on a night when the Sixers did not get much high-low action against the zone, which is really important. That's one time when they did, and Oubre made them pay.
So it was, an interesting night. They called it nasty. Embiid called it nasty, a nasty game afterwards, and they advanced to play the Knicks. The Heat will have to fight off Chicago on Friday night to make the playoffs. Outstanding Legs. Meanwhile, show me McNutt. Monica McNutt, we've got our favorite bit here. It's called Is That McNutt? Let's go to the Western Conference. Monica, if I said the Lakers are going to beat the Nuggets in round one, is that McNutt?
Respectfully, Greeny. That is McNutt's. Listen, the Lakers are playing good ball. They have the size and the experience To me, if you look at the West, they are the most well-equipped to beat the Nuggets. But the Nuggets are that good. And when you talk about Nikola Jokic, no one has had an answer. That's not happening.
All right, next stop would be Kyrie and the Mavericks. If I said Kyrie is going to make it farther in these playoffs than Kevin Durant, is that McNuts?
I would like to let you behind the scenes a little bit and know that I went over this question probably about a dozen times in my mind. I think both of these guys could be out in the first round. And so, if anything, I think that it's going to be exiting at the same time.
Wow.
I don't know. Like, the Clippers series, the T-Wolves, like, there's just not
You don't like Dallas against the Clippers?
Wow. I know everybody's saying that's hot and sexy, but I think that's a lot closer than we're making it.
Okay, we're going to come back to that one then. Let's go to the Warriors. If I said they need to break up the big three, is that McNuts?
It's time to rework it. I'm going to go with this one being McNuts, only because I think the importance of their big three, and in particular, Klay Thompson, has that franchise, has that city in his heart, in his soul. If he's willing to take less, willing to come off the bench, rework his role, understand that it's time to infuse this organization with some young blood in order to look forward to the future, I think it can be okay. They can salvage that.
Well, the big question we had here yesterday all morning long was, have we seen the last of these Warriors? This dynasty, they've been one of the great teams and one of the most enjoyable to watch in NBA history. Have we seen the last of them? Stephen A. on First Take said yesterday, he thinks the answer is yes.
This is the third time in 5 years they've missed the playoffs. The third time in 5 years. Joe Lacob ain't going to stand still. I promise you that. He is not going to stand still and just let these twilight years of Steph Curry's career fade into oblivion. The end of the Warriors, as we know it, this isn't the end of the Warriors because they still got Steph Curry. But as we know it, as we see them presently constructed, it's a wrap.
So what exactly does that mean? I mean, I'm trying to figure out, and Stephen A. is as connected to this stuff as anybody is, but I'm trying to figure out what that looks like because they've got Steph, they've got Klay, they've got Draymond. If they bring Klay back and Wiggins is still there, they don't have the financial flexibility to make some huge splashy move. So what does it look like?
The key phrase is as we know it.
That,
as we know it is Splash Brothers. Klay Thompson as a starter, which that was also toyed with already this season. To me, that, as we know, it is over.
Agreed.
But it doesn't mean that you start to transition players into other roles. Klay Thompson can clearly be a guy at a reduced salary, of course, commiserate to the role that he will be playing from now on, can still get you buckets off the bench as that guy. He's got to learn how to become that guy if he wants to stay in Golden State. So that's the as we know it. What they have to find is what they thought they found in Andrew Wiggins. I mean, this is talking about a guy that almost was Finals MVP in 2022. He played outstanding defense. He was rebounding like a monster. And they thought they found their, like the Kawhi when the Spurs had their second run.
Yeah.
It was like Kawhi emerged, like, okay, they give us new life. Andrew Wiggins has not become that. They gave him $100 million and he has regressed. So maybe they made a mistake in thinking that that was his potential when that was the aberration. They've got to find that. But it doesn't mean that they can't be effective with those three guys still a part of the team.
But if I'm hearing this correctly, Legs, what you're telling me they need to find is the second best player on a championship caliber team. They have the first.
Yep.
That's Steph Curry. But finding the second best player on a championship team when you don't have unlimited resources, that's a really hard thing to do.
Yeah, that's what I was saying all along. Because everybody likes to just go, so I'll blow it up. It's just so much easier said than done because of the dilemma that Steph Curry puts you in. That's a championship caliber player. This isn't like one of those dynasties that lasts 15, 20 years and then organically everybody gets old at the same time. Like it happened with San Antonio, right? That's not what happened here. Steph Curry is still on that level. Draymond Green, by the way, played really well after he came back from the suspension. Some of the best basketball he's played in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. He is still absolutely a winning player, a serviceable player. Klay Thompson in a different role? Absolutely. Off the bench? 20 minutes a night as like instant offense? Absolutely. The question is, what do you do to acquire what you need, which is somebody to leapfrog Draymond and Klay next?
They did that when they acquired Wiggins.
Right.
They got him, and he was that. He helped them win a championship. The problem was it didn't last.
Right.
They got to try to find it again.
He's not going to get to that level offensively. He's taking a leap. He won't be a star.
Yeah.
A reminder that Andrew Wiggins was once upon a time the first pick in the draft.
That's
so
true,
it's not insane to think, maybe he could have been that, but it hasn't gone that way, and it doesn't look like it will. Meanwhile, I know I was watching or listening to Steve Kerr on a radio show yesterday defending Draymond Green and talking about, and you said he played well and he did play well. But the reality is when you look back on their season and where they found themselves in a one-game do-or-die against a tough Sacramento team, you know, Draymond Green had a lot to do with that this year.
He's the cause and the cure. for their success and failure this year. And it really is. And Wendy brought this up yesterday on the show. I was watching it, and I thought it's the perfect numbers to give you. 32 and 20 when he played in games this season. 32, 12 games over 500. This is a team that finished 10 over 500. 14 and 16 when he did not play. And so those games that he missed, which weren't injury, which were other reasons that we know, the question about, again, keeping this group together is not necessarily about Klay Thompson, although everybody's talking about him. I think it's more about Draymond Green. Can you put your ego aside for now and mature enough to understand how important you still are to this team and how important you are to being on the court? The numbers tell that story. This is not just opinion. This is fact. When he's on the floor, they're a better team.
And they all have acknowledged that, right? And so I think, again, and we touched on this a little bit yesterday, this team is probably better than a play-in team if healthy and whole for the duration of a season. But there's a gap between play-in or playoff team and championship contender. And so that's what Lacob has to kind of battle with. If his priority is getting the numbers right, then we're probably rolling it back, running it back as constructed.
And the idea of Steph Curry ever playing in another jersey seems so impossible to imagine.
No way.
Like,
yeah.
Kobe Bryant.
Yep.
Like, but, I mean, we've seen crazier things. Michael Jordan finished as a Washington Wizard. He's maybe the greatest player that ever lived. I mean, it has happened in the past. It's never going to happen.
I know. Some guys are just wired differently.
So he's just going to be
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Yeah. He wants his legacy
Is there a scenario that you can see where in whatever remains of his prime, his best, which is two, three more years, that they can get back to a championship caliber situation?
I don't see how they acquire the player you're talking about, which is somebody that's got to jump over, you know, Pajemski and Kuminga and Trayce Jackson-Davis and Klay and Draymond. You've got to find that guy. And I just don't know how you do it with
it's
the assets
trade.
That you have.
It's very possible because with the new luxury tax situation that is coming this summer, there's going to be a team that has to make a tough decision on a big contract. They do have, you just mentioned Pajemski, Kuminga. They do have young pieces that another team might want to get that are cheaper contracts, and there is a way you could still bring another high-end player in there.
That's going to be the question. I think for those of us who would love to see Steph back in that spotlight one more time, it would be so good for the league, it would be so good for everybody. Is there a path to that while he's still at his best? By the way, tomorrow night we've got the final play-in night. The Bulls will take on the Heat. That'll be for the final spot in the East playoffs. Our coverage starts 7 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Winner gets Boston in round one. Coming up, back to the football, the big man, Damian Woody, tweeting up a firestorm. He will explain his tweets, including what he says the Jets need to do at number 10, and wait till you hear where D. Wood was when he was doing this tweeting. Oh, you're going to like this.
Ooh.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We are back on Get Up, quarter past till the hour. Bill Belichick was on Pat McAfee yesterday. Take a look at his setup.
Coach, hey, you got some stuff behind you, Coach. There's some things behind you there. I don't know if you knew that.
That's my bling.
Okay.
That's my fingers. That's my bling.
Okay, and it does beg the question. He's got the pretty nice home setup, yes. Kmart, but I'm going to let you be the judge. Who has the better home setup, Bill Belichick or Damian Woody? Can we see D-Wood's home set? Because that is, I mean, it's like sitting in an art museum.
You know what's missing like there is the grand piano that Damian has. Right. But I gotta say, I'm gonna go with my Wesleyan alum, Belichick, with the
I like that we have like it's not a still photo of D Wood, but we actually have a little video.
We shake your head about too, like
sitting there.
He must have heard our response.
So who did it better? What, you're gonna go with Belichick?
Right, Belichick. No, I mean, right. Hello.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Where are your
I mean, he's really stunning, and he got the Emmy up there too.
Now. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got.
He's what now?
He's stunting on them.
Exactly.
Well, we won't get into it. But the point of it is, well, it looks nice. Okay, let's do a special edition of Explain Your Tweets with apologies. Okay. Speaking of, because our buddy Ryan Clark, this is his feature, and we would never take it, but D Wood.
Shout out RC.
D Wood was tweeting up a storm yesterday, and we need to dive into it. So you may have seen the piece, Seth Wickersham, Don Van Natta, Jeremy Fowler, a big article on Bill Belichick yesterday involving Robert Kraft and any number of other things. And D Wood tweeted, so many things I want to say about that Bill Belichick piece. Great job, Seth, Don, and Jeremy. Okay. Here's your chance to say so many things. Go.
Man, what the hell is Robert Kraft doing, man? I mean, listen, outside, you got the Dolt Dynasty documentary, which wasn't enduring to Bill Belichick at all. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But then you read the piece, and you talk about Robert Kraft telling...
Don't trust that man.
Robert Kraft telling Arthur Blank, like, bruh.
Metro Boomin. Don't y'all,
y'all hook up to, like, don't make this a marriage thing. Don't get together on this, because that man will stab you in the back. That man bought you 6 chips, bruh. 6 chips. And you gonna hate on that man behind your back? Come on, bruh. Come on, Robert. Come on, man. What's going on here? I just don't understand.
What did you hear in reaction around the league yesterday? Because that really was, for those of you who haven't read it, it is a very detailed, fascinating piece with so many things in it. But that was the one that really jumped out, was that he essentially warned Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, against hiring Belichick.
Yes. And in fairness, around the league, everybody calls in, all the new head coaches, GMs, their new teams called their old teams. They called their old players, like, tell me about so-and-so. So if Robert Kraft truly felt like that, then yes, he should be honest. However, when you look at the whole Patriots thing, to put it all on Bill, like, this is not a – for him not to be a head coach right now is still baffling. But now we know why.
What did you think of this, EJ?
Yeah, well, it was shocking. One, because, like Damian said, I mean, you bring in all these Super Bowls. Now, he did have Tom Brady with all those Super Bowls, too. Now, maybe that was the thought with Robert Kraft saying, hey, look, if you don't give him a Tom Brady or a Hall of Fame type of quarterback, maybe he's not as great of a coach. I don't know. But I was shocked to hear that his owner went back a month.
Well, and look, and then also in the piece, it talks about the places that Bill is interested in going. And it's sort of a smorgasbord of NFC East possibilities. Philadelphia, the Giants, the Cowboys, each of which feels as though they're one bad season away from a possible coaching change. What is your sense of that?
So it's funny because with the Giants, the name that I've heard the most is not Belichick. It's actually a Belichick disciple. It's been Vrabel. Like, that's the guy I've been told, like, keep an eye on him in New York if anything happens. But regarding Belichick, I think, honestly, the Cowboys are the only place that he could go because Jerry is an owner who really doesn't care what people think. Like, he really is like, if this is the guy I want, I'm going to do it, as opposed to Arthur Blank, who we read in the piece. He was very swayed by it.
You can warn me about anything you want. Bill Belichick is arguably the greatest NFL coach that ever lived. If you have a chance to hire him, you'd be crazy not to at least consider it. Okay, the next tweet from D. Wood, and this is the one where I sat a little forward in my chair. He said, I will say I see all the plugged-in insiders mocking Bowers, meaning the tight end Brock Bowers, to the Jets. So where there's smoke, and I just don't want to hear some of y'all nonsense, and I cleaned that up.
about
the O-line in October, November, if these same guys can't stay on the field. Explain that.
Yeah, man, listen, this is not a knock on Brock Bowers. I think Brock Bowers is a generational type of tight end. Any team would be fortunate enough to have him. But for me, like, when I look at the Jets, that's a luxury pick for the Jets right now. Like, I need Aaron Rodgers upright for 17 games.
Yes.
And I know they went out there and they got three O-linemen, but their two tackles that they got, both are on the wrong side of 30, and both have missed time in recent seasons. So I don't want to hear Jets fans talking when we get to October, November, complain about the offensive line when you have opportunity right now to add a surplus? Because guess what? Yesterday's luxury is today's necessity. That's the way I'm looking at it.
That is exactly the perfect wording. For the Jets, drafting the tight end would be a luxury selection. They're not in luxury position, Kmart. The Jets are desperate for help on the offensive line that has been decimated by injury multiple years in a row, and they brought in injury-prone guys. They need more linemen.
Okay. First Lady has been in lockstep with Bishop throughout this whole process.
Right.
But I'm going to change teams today, only because to give Brock Bowers his due. Because, EJ, tell me, are the Jets thinking about the future or right now?
Gotta be thinking about right now.
Right now. Okay, so you put Brock Bowers in this offense. This is not a, let's wait and hope and see what he develops. No, this is a plug-and-play guy. This is put him on the field, and he makes life easier. Why, Greeny? Because, pressure's coming. Boom, quick release. Give it to Garrett Wilson. Give it to Brock. Give it to Breece. Like, I understand. Because I'm with you. I think O-line is a huge piece, but there is a compelling argument for Brock Bowers because you need, in the AFC, you need to put up points in a hurry, and he can help you do that.
I understand that, but the most important thing, I don't
know. No, you don't.
If Aaron Rodgers is lying flat on his back, it don't make a damn bit of difference what anybody else is doing. The most important priority for them has to be protecting him at all costs.
Well, protection can be done a bunch of different ways, too. You can have tight ends that chip. Maybe it's Brock Bowers and it goes out into a route. So I think the school of thought is two things. If you want to try to win the Super Bowl right now, you go Brock Bowers.
Why did you bring Aaron Rodgers?
Exactly. You put up a lot of points.
I'm with that.
A tight end like
I disagree with you. I disagree with that thought. I think Brock Bowers is a great pick for the future. He will be a great weapon for them or someone for a long time. But immediately, right this year, they need offensive line help. D-Wood, settle the tie.
Oh, who's the offensive lineman?
Right.
I'll settle it. Go Brock Bowers. Go Brock Bowers.
Let's go to
go
one.
Brock
Bowers. Now, most of the time, Kmart and I, we're on one side and we're asking questions, and you guys are the experts. You're answering questions. Yeah. We're going to turn the tables now because this is a subject upon which you and I are experts.
Mm-hmm.
Final tweet. This is from D. Wood. I'm sitting here stirring up the draft pot while getting a pedicure manicure, so don't mind me. D. Wood, first of all, I believe it is called a mani-pedi.
Yes.
I've never heard it called. I've never heard it said in that order
mani-pedi,
before.
Mani-pedi, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That said, explain that tweet.
Well, first of all, I get it in that order. I get pedi, mani.
Understood.
I like, so I do it like that. Second of all, I'm big on self-care. I'm big on self-care. And so I figured, since I am getting the self-care, why not drop some draft bombs out there, right? You know what I mean? I'm getting the best of both worlds, so...
I'm out here fighting for my life. Do I have time for self-care? I need a mani-pedi too. But no, shocking.
But see, it's not about
you.
But you're right.
I don't know.
But you know what? But you know, first thing, it's not about you. Okay, it's about me
right now. Right.
May I just, if I may, you don't need that. Can you put your hands in front of your feet? Her shoes and her nails match.
That's the next level
of the mani-pedi.
Yes. Right.
Can we get a nice shot of that? Yeah, put the nails down there. You see, there's the shoes. Can we get a look at the, get that. See that? We got the matching. D-Wood, that's what you need. You need the matching. You need the matching nails and shoes.
That's what I need. He went clear. He went clear on the finger.
You got clear polish?
Yeah,
self-care,
yeah.
Self-care, baby.
Or just a shiny buff. You can go either way.
Yeah.
She knows what I'm talking about. Come on. We're the experts on this stuff. Very good. Okay. Don't forget, you can check out promos like Seeing Green exclusively in the ESPN Bet app as the official sportsbook of ESPN. It's the only place to find offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download today. What a play. Back to the hoops we go. Off the top of the hour, a fight to the finish in Philly. The 76ers survive. Are they about to 86 the Knicks in round one? We'll get to that next. Show me those nails. Come on,
see,
D-Wood.
See, look at that. Yeah, uh-huh.
Looks good.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and... The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.